Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Oh, wow, if you can find one. Everybody okay? All right. Well, good morning. Man, I'm glad you're here today. If you're a guest, my name's Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. And I want you to know that song we just sang, we chose it on purpose. That song is called Made for More. And we are in the middle of a series right now called Made for More. And our hope over the next few weeks is that wherever you fit, wherever you sit in your relationship with God, in a room like this, we have people who've been Christians 20, 30, 50, 70, 80 years. In a room like this, we have people who today might be your very first time setting foot at a church. Or it could be your very first time in a really long time. And if that's you today, I want you to know, man, we created our church for you. And we are honored that you're with us today. And our hope over the next few minutes we spend together is that you'll experience something. You'll feel something. You'll see something. You'll think something that'll maybe begin to expand your capacity of your life, of who you are, of who God says you are. And one day in the future, you'll be sitting here with your hands raised just like the rest of us because we've tasted and seen that God is good. And we have discovered that we are truly made for more. Now, if you call Wellspring home, you might know that I am trying to stretch just a little bit because for some reason, my television's not out here. And I don't know why. And today, as you're going to see in a moment, is a very TV-heavy week because we're going to walk through a story. And so here's what I'll do. I'll just start and we'll figure it out together. I was going to tell you that, hey, if you're new, this is week two of our series. And, you know, we put all our content online. We put all our content places where you can find it. You know what, guys? We're just going to pretend like the TV's out here because I got to go. And so if you don't have our app and you want to see more funny stuff like this, if after today, you know, if you want to go back and see how we got here, I'm going to really encourage you to do that because the heart of our series is something we've been saying week after week after week. Well, last week and this week, we'll say it all of the series. And it's this: you, yes, you, and you, and you, and you, you're destined for greatness. You're not an accident. The God of the universe knew your name before you were born. He created you with gifts and strengths and talents and abilities that he gave no one else. And he did it because he created you on purpose and with a purpose. And that purpose, here it is. And that purpose, well, let's just, oh, there it is. All right, perfect. And that purpose is for you to walk into the good things he has planned for you. And as I said last week, this isn't my idea, and this isn't just some motivational speech. This entire series is based on one verse we find in our New Testament, delivered to us by a man named Paul. God spoke through Paul when Paul was writing to fellow Christians, and what Christians believe is we can actually read his writings almost 2,000 years later, and it's like God speaking directly to us. And here's the truth we've kind of built this entire series on. It's found in Ephesians 2:10. And this is what Paul writes. He says, "For we are God's masterpiece. We are his creation. We are his workmanship. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago." Good things, great things that he planned for your life. That's why we've been saying, that's why we're going to keep saying that you are destined for greatness. Now, you're like me, you're like most people, we don't feel that way. And so what we started last week, what we're going to do for our entire series, is we're going to study the life of one man. A man like many of us who did not feel like this statement applied to him. A man who felt like he was inadequate. A man who felt like he didn't measure up to maybe what God wanted from him, that he couldn't play the role God had for his life. This man's name is Moses. Now, if you have any knowledge of the Bible, you probably heard of Moses. And you're like, wait, no. Moses was this great leader. Moses is the guy who led the nation of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. He led them to the promised land. God delivered the law through Moses. He was this amazing guy. Yeah, but he didn't feel that way. He didn't feel amazing. He felt inadequate. He felt embarrassed about his shortcomings. He actually had quite a temper. And what I love about this story is we can read it. And it's as if the God of the universe says, I give you permission to project. Project your own inadequacies, protect your own fears, project all those things onto Moses. Because as we're going to walk through this story, we're going to see how God time and time and time and again not only met Moses, but did more than Moses could ask or imagine. Now hear me, you're not Moses. I'm not Moses. But the beauty of God's word is that it contains life-changing, eternal truths. It contains biblical principles that were true in Moses' life, and they're true in our life as well. And so we can read his stories, we can let the Holy Spirit speak to us through his stories, and we can find hope for ourselves today. Whether you've been a Christian for 30 years, still trying to figure out what your purpose is, or maybe you've wandered in your back, or if you're brand new to faith or brand new to church, and you've never even heard that God had a plan for your life. Last week, we looked at the beginning of Moses' story. He was born into impossible circumstances, born into a situation where he was an Israelite and they were under the thumb of the Egyptians. He was born into slavery, and he was actually born into a death sentence. When he was born, Pharaoh had ordered every male child had to be killed because the population was growing too fast. And last week, here's what we discovered. Some principles about Moses' life that are also true of you. How I know you're destined for greatness, just like Moses, God picked you. He picked you and he's had a plan for your life since before you were born. I know you may not understand that yet, but we have several more weeks to work through this together. Not only has God picked you, God's preserved you. You're still breathing for a reason. You still have a pulse, and we can all look back on our lives, whether we see the hand of God in it or fate or whatever you call it, things that have steered you in the right direction, close calls where you look back and say, how did I make it? How am I still here? It's because God was at work and he has a plan for your life. Not only has he picked you, not only has he preserved you, we believe God has positioned you for this very moment. There's a reason you're here today. There's a reason you chose to come here as opposed to go somewhere else. There's a reason you landed in Myrtle Beach. I don't know what it is, but God does. He has been at work and he will always be at work in your life because he has a purpose for you. And he is at work until you receive him, until you receive his invitation. He'll never stop chasing. And once you do receive his invitation and begin to build your life on him, he'll never leave you. And he'll continue to use you until he calls you home. And so our goal today is to return back to Moses. Because again, even as I say this, I know we still have a lot of doubts. Some of us say, well, maybe I used to have that, but it's not me anymore. Man, you don't know what I've done. You don't know about my life. You don't know some of the flaws I have. You don't know how I've messed up. There's no way God wants to use me. Now look, I understand that. I'm not gonna argue with you. That's your lived experience. That's what you believe. That's how you feel. But with humility, I would like to say, your feelings do not make something fact. Because the fact is, I've read God's word cover to cover multiple times, and other than his son, whom he sent, who was perfect, God exclusively uses failures. He exclusively uses people who feel inadequate, who don't feel up to the challenge. And Moses fits the bill. If you were here last week, you know Moses grows up in the house of Pharaoh at the age of 40. Moses commits murder. He sees an Egyptian mistreating a Jewish person, and he kills this guy. And then he hides the body. Pharaoh finds out. Pharaoh's like, well, that was too far. Arrest Moses. He's got to pay for his crimes. So Moses flees. He flees to the desert where he lives for 40 years. He runs into a shepherd. He joins his family, marries his daughter. And so today we pick up with Moses, 80 years old, a 40-year fugitive, wandering in the desert. And this is the moment God invites him into the purpose of his lifetime. And I point that out because I feel like here in Myrtle Beach, we are uniquely wired to understand wandering because of how many people I'm like, How'd you get to Myrtle Beach? I don't really know. We just ended up here. It's our place. And so what I want to do today is we're going to jump to this moment where the God of the universe invites Moses in, invites Moses to join him in the purpose of his life. And we're going to read this story. And as I said, I want to give you permission to project onto Moses your struggles, your concerns, your fears, your doubts, because you're going to be amazed at the humanity of this story. You're going to be amazed about how human nature hasn't really changed that much in 5,000 years. But we're just going to walk through the story. And if you've been a Christ follower for 30 years, may today just be affirming and a reminder of how God's at work in your life. If you're brand new to faith, may today be a picture of what God offers. And may it be a refutation of some of the common concerns we often push back with when God lets us know he has a plan for our life. And for everyone in the middle, your God's at work. He is kind, he is patient, he is loving, he has a plan for your life. And as we see today, he is going to go and he's going to take every step possible and going to provide everything necessary for you to accomplish everything he wants you to accomplish. So with all that said, let's dive in. What we know is that Moses is 80, he's a shepherd, and we're told that one day he was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. Love that name, Jethro. Moses led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. So again, Moses is just at work. He's doing his normal thing. He is wandering. He is not thinking about God. He's not thinking anything's going to happen. It's just a normal day of an 80-year-old murderer. Let's not forget, that's who he is. Look, if we are going to wear our biggest shames on our shoulders and say our biggest shame limits what God can do, then we are going to continue to talk about Moses' biggest shame because it didn't seem to bother God. He had a plan, just like he does for all of us. So Moses is wandering, and then this happens. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. And Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. Now, if you grew up in church, you probably heard of this, the burning bush. This bush that's on fire, but it's not burning. But the key I want you to see here is that Moses wasn't looking for God. God was looking for Moses. And so God knew where Moses would be, and God did something in the midst of Moses that got Moses' attention. And Moses chose to lean in. I bring that up because for some of you, the thought of you sitting in a church service 5 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe 5 days ago, it's just a foreign concept, but something happened, right? God got your attention. I don't know what it was. I don't know how he did it. Could have been through a relationship. Could have been through a success. Could have been through a failure. But he did. He got your attention. Something happened, and you noticed, and you leaned in. That's what we see Moses do. Moses says, "This is amazing. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. I must at least go check it out." Some of you are here today because you just at least have to check it out. You've heard things, you've seen things happen in the lives of other people, and you're like, I don't know what's going on, but I've got to check it out. We've been pursuing God this way for 5,000 years. That's what Moses did as well. Here's Moses. Here's the Lord's response. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. "Moses," he said. "Moses, here I am," replied Moses. Can you imagine wandering in the middle of the desert, you see a burning bush, and then it knows your name? Look at me, everybody. Eye contact for just a second. I can't all look at you, but look up here. The God of the universe knows your name. He knows you. He knows your story. He knows your successes. He knows your failures. He knows your hopes and dreams. He knows your fears. He knows you. And he's calling. He's inviting. always inviting. To the Christ follower of 30 years, there's always deeper purpose. There's always deeper connection. To the person checking out if God's real, the invitation is to begin a relationship, to step into all that he has planned for you. But he knows you. He knows your name. Just like he knew Moses' name. Here's what he said. The Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I know my people are struggling. I see them. I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. I hear them. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. He's saying, Moses, I know exactly what's going on. And please do not mistake my lack of movement. Don't mistake that as that I didn't care. I care greatly. I care deeply. And now that the timing is right, it's time to do something about it. So he says, I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. Sorry, guys, sometimes the Holy Spirit shows me things in Scripture on stage. It's the first time I've noticed that he used the words, I have come down to rescue. Sounds like a preview, doesn't it? Sounds like, hey, Moses, what we're going to do right now, you're going to write down, and we're going to use this as a preview of how we're going to rescue the world when I really come down, when I put skin on and save the world. Which, if you're new to faith, that's what he did through his son, Jesus. But he's telling Moses, I see this. I see what's happening. It's time to rescue. So I've come down and I'm going to rescue them. I'm going to lead them out of Egypt to their own fertile and spacious land. And then he drops the bomb. He says, Moses, now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt. He says, Moses, it's time to save everybody. And I want you to be the leader. How do you think that 80-year-old murderer felt at that moment? But see, I pause and I point that out because as wild as that invitation sounds, it is the very invitation each one of us are offered. Because what we're going to read about over the next few weeks, what God did with Israel, he fully and finally does through his son, Jesus, who comes down, pays the penalty for our sins, breaks the curse of sin and death, comes back to life to set us free. And he invites me and you and all of us not only to taste and see that he is good, not only to participate in the life he has planned for us, but like Moses, once we have become Christ followers, he wants to use us to lead other people out of captivity of sin into the freedom and life-giving that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. If for no other reason, this is why I can boldly say you are destined for greatness, because what could be greater than the God of the universe using you to change someone else's eternity? I promise you, when we're in eternity, we'll realize how much nothing else mattered. And so that's the invitation for Moses, and that's the invitation for us to partner with God in his plan to rescue his people, to reconcile them through his son, Jesus. So God invites Moses, just like he's inviting each one of us. And Moses responds pretty much the way each one of us would respond. Moses protested to God. I love this. This phrase comes back over and over and over. Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? Notice, you're going to notice how every single thing he says starts with I. We really don't see Moses doubt God. Moses doubts himself. And for all of us in the room, a little leery of God having a plan for our lives and purpose, you don't doubt God, you doubt yourself. And I understand, I doubt myself as well, because I've lived with myself forever. And I've let myself down a lot of times. It's well-earned doubt. Which is why I don't want us to miss God's response to what Moses said. Moses says, who am I? I'm inadequate. I'm unworthy. I can't do this. Here's how God answers. God answers, I will be with you. It's almost as he's saying, yeah, I know. Well aware that you are inadequate. If you guys were adequate, I wouldn't have to be involved in this. But Moses, this is my plan for your life. Of course, I will be with you. And the same is true for every one of us. This idea that we're destined for greatness, that God has a plan for our life. For some times it feels overwhelming because you think we have to do it alone. And the first principle that we see in this story is so crucial for all of us. We all have to embrace this. Your purpose will require God's presence. It will. I'll say it this way. It is impossible to accomplish what God wants for your life without God in your life. Because the primary thing God wants for your life is a relationship. It's for you to trust him and for you to choose to follow him. And so anything God puts on your heart, any dream, any plan that is of him, is going to require his presence and his participation. That shouldn't seem crazy to us, but it does, because we're just so naturally looking at ourselves and trying to figure out how it's going to work. But he says to Moses, hey, I will be with you. You don't have to worry. Spoiler alert, Moses worries. He keeps going, but Moses protested. But if I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, then they will ask me, well, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? I mean, Moses is like a toddler. He is just throwing out anything. What do they ask me your name? And so what does God do? He very calmly answers. God replied, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. And then God actually keeps talking. He says, he introduces the name Yahweh. And he says, tell them Yahweh sent you. And he says, when you go to the elders, they're going to believe he's talking about the Jewish people, because Moses is nervous, not only about talking with Pharaoh, but convincing the Jewish people that he's going to be their leader, because he's not really been a part of them. He grew up a prince, and then he's been a murderer and on the run for 40 years, so he doesn't know them, so he's worried about his credibility. And so God says, don't worry. When you go, tell them this. They're going to be with you. He then tells them, when you go to see Pharaoh, some things are going to happen. But don't worry. It's all going to work out. He gives him the whole plan and says, it's going to be perfect. And what do you think? You think Moses was like, okay, God, you've convinced me. I got it. No. After all that, Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me? Or listen to me. What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? He's doubting himself again. He's doubting his credibility. He's fearing other people. And he's saying, what if other people don't want to hear? And now I go, I know none of us can relate to that in any way, shape, or form. We never make decisions based on what other people think. We never worry about upsetting other people. I know, it's just Moses. We'll pray for Moses. So he's got these insecurities. What if these people don't believe me? So the God of the universe, he says, okay, I got your back. Let me show you. So the Lord asked him a question. He says, what's that in your hand? And Moses replies, it's a shepherd's staff, because he's holding this. He was out tending some sheep. And so God says, watch this. He says, throw it down on the ground. And so Moses threw down the staff, and it turned into a snake. And Moses jumped back. Now, this is where me and Moses part ways. If I had thrown a stick on the ground and it became a snake, I would not wait to see what happened next. I'm just confessing. I would have been running the other way as fast as humanly possible. And if that didn't lose me, this would have. Then the Lord told him, reach out and grab its tail. I don't think so, God. That's a snake. No. But so Moses reached out, grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hands. And so then God says this. He says, perform this sign. Then they will believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has really appeared to you. He says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you even do a sign. But the key verse I want to really point out, I want you to project yourself onto and think about today, is the first thing he asked him. The Lord asked him, what's in your hand? See, I point that out because so often when we feel like maybe God's speaking and maybe there's a step he wants us to take, maybe there's something we want to do, one of the first things we look at is I don't have enough to do it. I don't have enough. And what I love what God did here is God didn't give Moses more. God basically showed him, I'm going to use what you have. You've already got it in your hand. And so what that means for us today when we're thinking about our purpose, not only are we designed for greatness, we have to understand that our purpose will require our possessions. Now again, this isn't about money. This isn't about surrendering everything to him. What it is about there are things you possess because the God of the universe has given them to you. There's gifts, strengths, talents, and abilities you possess. There's tangible things. There's the money you have. There's the home you have. We believe everything we have is a gift from God. And he's given us these things, and the purpose he has for our life is going to require those things. If it requires something extra, we can trust he'll give it to us when we need it. But for Moses and for us, if God has put a dream in your heart, if he has given you a command, if he has given you a step to take, and he has now told Moses twice, go. He's given him a step to take. What he's saying is you can be certain you have everything you need to take every step I want you to take today. And if you need something tomorrow, I'll give it to you tomorrow. But you don't have to wait. You have what you need. It's in your hand. We see this principle in both the Old and the New Testament. And sometimes the faith is built when we step, not understanding how it's been provided. And then as we step, we see, oh, I already had everything I needed. That's what God wants to do. Still wasn't enough for Moses. He asks another question, and God does another magic trick. God does another miracle. He says, hey, put your hand in your robe. So Moses does. He brings it out, and it's all diseased. And Moses is like, what happened? And God says, just wait. Puts it back in the robe, comes out. Hands completely healed again. He says, hey, show them that. And Moses is like, that's cool. I still don't want to go. Here's why. And this is what I mean about how human Moses is. I cannot believe how much human nature hasn't changed in thousands upon thousands of years. All these things that Moses was worried about, all these things were really at their core just excuses. They were the thing he felt safe saying because of what he was actually most embarrassed about, what he was most ashamed of. And I think he realized, I've asked all the questions, I've said everything, I've just got to tell him what I'm really embarrassed about, why I can't go speak for him. This time Moses doesn't protest, he pleads. He pleaded with the Lord, and this one breaks my heart. He says, oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you've spoken to me, I get tongue-tied. And my words, they get tangled. See, Moses had a speech impediment. Moses had a stutter. And we can see in this moment that that stutter had haunted him his whole life. We don't know how many conversations he didn't have. We don't know how many questions he didn't raise. But we know when the God of the universe presents his plan for him and takes away every excuse and shows him miracles, Moses still feels inadequate, not because of anything God has done, but because of what Moses thinks he lacks. I can't speak well. I have a stutter. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. In a room like this, we all have things we're ashamed of. We all have things that, even in the back of our minds, even if we don't say them out loud, we know, man, this is the thing that's going to hold me back. This is the thing that's going to disqualify me. this is why God could never use me. And for Moses, that was it. And for Moses, it was something he had no control over. I guarantee you, he'd have done anything to get rid of that stutter, but he never did. For some of us, the thing that causes us so much shame and pain or something we didn't do. It was something someone did to us. It was a circumstance that happened. Now for others, what we're ashamed of, oh, we did it. We'd give anything in the world to take it back, but we can't. But what Moses didn't understand and what we don't understand is that those weren't disqualifying. Those are just more opportunities for God's glory to shine through. God knew Moses. He knew his name. Don't you think he knew he stuttered? But it didn't hold God back. But it held Moses back. And God doesn't just say, hey, get over it. He meets Moses there. And I want us to see that. The Lord asked Moses, he said, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? He's like, buddy, I got a bush here on fire, but it's not burning. I think I can handle your stutter. But Moses was scared. So God is forceful. He says, now go, I'll be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. But Moses was so far down the ladder. He was so deep in his fear. He was so dysregulated by the horrors of what God was asking him to do. I don't think he could even hear him. And he simply responds, please send anyone else. He's dying inside. And then Moses writes this. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. Now, I want to pause for a second because a lot of us live thinking God's angry with us. And Moses is the one who writes this. And so I get how in the moment Moses probably felt like God was angry at him. But I'm going to say, I've read scripture cover to cover multiple times, I do not believe God was angry. He might have been frustrated the way any parent gets frustrated when your child doubts themselves. The way any parent gets frustrated when you see your child settling for less than best because of a fear, because of a doubt, because of an insecurity. We get, our hearts break when that happens because we know their potential. So Moses could have felt a bit of that, but I don't think he was angry because God had already solved Moses' problem. And he began solving the problem before Moses told him he had a problem. Let me show you what I mean. He says, all right, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he speaks well. And look, he is on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. Talk to him. Put the words in his mouth. I'll be with both of you as you speak, and I will instruct you both in what to do. Don't miss this. Don't miss that before God called Moses into his purpose, he had already put into motion a plan to solve the very thing Moses felt disqualified him from service. Aaron was already on the way. Aaron was already coming to meet Moses because God was already at work. And the same is true in your life. God has already been at work. He picked you, he preserved you, he positioned you. That's why you're here right now. And all the reasons you have for why you can't serve God, all the fears, all the doubts, he has already solved those. And what we see in this story is another crucial principle for pursuing our purpose, and it's this. Our purpose, it will require other people. Because we are meant to live in community. That's why God created the church. So we have a place to gather together with other people who are trying to pursue their purpose just like we are. And here's the thing. God can use us to cover each other. There's a reason he calls us the body of Christ. He doesn't call each one of us the body of Christ. It's as we are together, serving together, that we make one complete, whole, effective representative of Christ to hopefully change Myrtle Beach and Horry County and the world. But we don't do it alone. Moses' fear was, I'm going to have to do this alone, and I can't do it. And for some of us today, that's the fear holding us back. And just be reminded, God's already solved the problem. Now, he may not have told you how yet, but we can trust that he has. And so again, as we wrap up this story, again, it was just a story, and the goal was that we'd see ourselves in Moses' life and that we'd be able to glean some lessons and leave here a little more confident in pursuing God's purpose in our lives. Again, whether you've been a Christ follower for 50 years or whether today's your first day, as we come to our time of response here in a moment, I want to go back over these three truths, and I just want to give you permission as we sing to just reflect. How have you seen God at work in your life? Have you had times where you wanted to do something, but it was God's presence that you couldn't find and you couldn't fill? You felt like you were alone. Today could be a day for you to recommit yourself to pursuing his presence in this room, during the week. Or today could be a day where you take stock and you could remember that our purpose is going to require our possessions. And maybe you need to spend some time just thanking God for all the gifts in your life, for all the ways he has equipped you. Maybe there's a step he wants you to take and you don't think you have what it takes. Maybe during our response time, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to what you do currently have in your hand and how it can help you step into the purpose God created for you. Or it could be like many of us, that you're just on an island. And today you need to realize, my purpose is going to require other people. It's going to require a community. So maybe you can take a step into community today. Maybe you can take a step into serving today. Maybe you can take a step towards becoming the man or woman God wants you to be as you meet other men and women who are pursuing Jesus in the same way. I don't know what God has planned for your life, but I know he has a plan for your life. And I know it is better than your plan. And I know he has picked you and preserved you and positioned you for this moment. And I know what he has for you will require his presence. It will require your possessions and it will require other people. And so if today you have clarity, commit to God today to step in. Maybe there's a stutter you need to work on. Commit to taking a step for God to heal you, for God to free you from the shame. And maybe you say, man, I don't know, this is all just still too much. We still have two more weeks. Just come back. Keep being open. Keep looking for how God's moving. Be like Moses. Be honest with God. Tell him your fears. Tell him your doubts. Tell him your questions. Tell him your concerns. Even if it feels like he's angry, he's not. Because he loves you and he's at work to position you for everything God wants. So I'm going to pray, and I just want to give you some time as we sing to just do some work with the Holy Spirit. Ask him to show you where you need his presence. Ask him to show you maybe where you have more than you think. Ask him to show you how to step into a new relationship that might position you for more than you can ask or imagine. Because it's the same God. And he has the same purpose. He wants to use us on earth to accomplish infinitely more than we could ask or imagine. And our prayer as a church is that we choose to refuse to settle for anything less than God's absolute best for our life. Let me pray for you, then we'll respond. Father, we love you. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your servant Moses and his willingness to write down his struggles so that we can read about them, we can identify them, and we can recognize how you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you for being at work in Moses' life. We thank you for being at work in ours. And we ask you to continue to patiently lead us into the reason we were born. Show us our purpose. And then give us the passion to pursue it for the rest of our lives. We love you. We thank you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. Let's